Started. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Nicola. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's HSTLD call. And we've actually got a fairly thin group with us today. On the phone, we've got Mikey O'Connor, Paul Smoser, Michael Pelage, Dave Piscitello, John McElwain, and myself, Craig Schwartz. And I know that Michael circulated a reminder email this morning to list, and I realize it's also it's vacation time for lots of people around the world, so it's not completely surprising that we've got a small group today. Michael, do you want to take over? Or do you want me to continue chatting?
Perhaps you could just you can chat. I mean, again, we got such a small group here. It's not like I really need to chair much of anything. I mean, perhaps you could just give an update on where staff is, on where you are in the RFI, and where we, the group, could help you in that effort. So, so you got the floor.
Thanks, Michael. So in follow-up to the email that Michael sent on July 22nd, and I actually thought that there might be some chatter on the list between then and now with regard to the RFI and questions and concepts, but to backstep for a moment, ICANN staff, and that would be myself and Dave Piscitello, with a little bit of input still from Andy Welsh, although everybody knows that he's not with us full-time any longer. We have gone ahead and drafted a very rough V1 RFI that we've looked at internally, but felt that it just was not ready for prime time yet in terms of the meat of that document, which is why Michael and I talked back on the 21st and basically co-wrote this email that was distributed on the 22nd. So I think where we are is that we've agreed that we want to move forward with the RFI, continue to look at the viability, and way back when we had talked about trying to get something out in September or perhaps early October. I think that's still doable, but we do need to we do want to have input from the group in terms of the what we want to include and what information it is we're seeking. I think one of the inherent challenges with what we're trying to do now is balancing writing an RFI versus writing an RFP, and we're definitely not at the RFP stage yet, although much of the information that we're looking to gather kind of verges on responses that prospective vendors might provide to an RFP. So looking at the email from the 22nd, I hope everybody's has it handy. We're looking at potential questions and concepts, and really looking to the group to augment what we have here. I mean, some of us are not in the technical arena at all, much less, security area. And obviously Dave is the exception to that because he is the ICANN technical person. But folks like Paul and John and other folks that have been driving this group really since its inception, I think what we'd really like to do is get some input from you, and whether it's on today's call or whether it's in writing on the list, I think what Dave and I were trying to avoid is having the first draft of the RFI be completely, ICANN staff driven. If that's the way the group decides it wants to go and then providing input to it, then we can certainly do that. But
So let me just jump in here. I appreciate the sensitivity of the first draft being entirely staff dependent, and again, let's use this say next week to perhaps reach out and have the group step up and if you will provide some feedback. But if there isn't, clearly I see no I would see no problem with that sort of first draft coming out, because what it is okay. just a draft. That would that's going to be the foundation upon which we're going to work. And I, again, when you look back to the work that Andy did, and I assume a lot of, you know, some of that is based upon some of the work product that we had done previously. You know, I think we generally have had a pretty good. Let's just say we've had a lot more consensus than certain other working groups.
You're just jealous.
I'm jealous. I am, Mikey. What can I say? So again, what is it? We have somebody just joined. Who just joined late? Can you tell from the dial-in info there, Craig?
Yeah, that was actually me. I'm going through dead cell area. So.
Okay. So what happens is, I mean, we got Paul. Paul, you were obviously one of the first people that ICANN sort of originally reached out to sort of in this initial endeavor. I would particularly like your input into, you know, some of the things we would be looking for in, you know, the RFI. I mean, is there anything perhaps you could sort of just off the top of your head sort of tick some boxes, and then perhaps we could hear from ICANN staff whether they've, you know, have already addressed that, or is that something they need to go back to the drawing board to? So not to put you on the spot, but I really do value your expertise in sort of this area here, Paul.
Well, I appreciate that, first of all, and I'll be honest, I haven't really had a chance to look at it. I've been dealing with a kind of personal family medical situation for the last couple of weeks. It's had me really tied up. So I will try to take a look at it in the next couple of days and get something back out on the list. But honestly, at this point, I couldn't give you a response.
Okay, since there really hasn't even been a draft, I was just saying perhaps, you know, some of the high level things what you would be looking for sort of in the RFI, because Craig, you've not yet circulated that document, correct?
No.
Okay.
No.
So I mean, is there anyone on, you know, let me just put that out just sort of among this small group, is there anyone that sees any objection to at least getting that, if you will, first draft out as a framework for discussion and going from there? I mean, I see no problem. Mikey, John, or Paul?
Fine.
Yeah, so, I mean, put it this way, Craig, if you want, you know, perhaps I know you're still on vacation, and I appreciate you taking time out to, hop on this call. But, you know, perhaps if you can, before you enjoy the last couple of hours of vacation, if you could perhaps just circulate what you have to the list, this way we could, you know, roll up our sleeves and, start giving you feedback.
Yeah, I think it's going to need a little bit more time before we put it out, and I'd like to actually connect with Dave Miscatello after this call to figure out when we could put it out, whether it's Thursday or Friday or Monday. As I said, it was really rough. It was just a bunch of ideas thrown together, and it's just not quite ready for prime time, but I think it's close. So why don't you give us a day or two internally to sort that out, and then we can put something out to the list to start to generate some dialogue.
Okay.
Can I make a suggestion? This is Dave Piscatello.
Yeah.
The one of the things that that Craig and I had composed and Mike had posted was a list of initial question areas that we would solicit. Specific information and feedback from anyone who chose to, you know, to read the RFI. And Andy had helped us sort of frame out those questions, because these sort of, in his mind, would help the would bidders understand kind of the scope of the project beyond just the enumeration of the control elements. Yeah, a little bit of it has to be kind of explaining specifics.
I think we're losing you, Dave.
Yep, we're hitting a bad cell zone there.
Yeah, the range of the registry operator is, you know, is from very small to potentially very large. As an example, there would be international presence in some circumstances. And so, if I could get some feedback from the list on you know whether those questions are satisfactory for the initial draft, while Craig and I go through and review the initial comments back that Andy gave on the framework RFI document that I cobbled together, then I can integrate both of those early next week and probably make them available for probably not a call next week, at least for me. I wouldn't be available, but certainly I could be available the week after, and the document would be at least available for a week's worth of review. It's not going to be enormous. It's going to be somewhere in the order of 10 to 12 pages.
Makes sense.
So let me ask you, if I can there, Dave, and again, I'm just going through, the initial nine high-level questions that you were talking about here. But when we were talking about the controls, we were looking at some of the sort of the pass through to sort of registrars and perhaps sort of what was it? It was that last group where we were even looking at, you know, where the registrant in fact may have some potential obligations. Right now when I was just again sort of just doing this quick read through, a lot of things tend to focus more on, you know, the size of the registry operator. I don't see anything here regarding how would they handle perhaps a more distributed model and how they would go about that aspect, because I would really be interested in gaining feedback from vendors where it's not just one stop, the quote-unquote registry, but, you know, perhaps people such as Web Trust and other people like that that have had experience with perhaps like seals or other marks at the end registrant user level, and how that may also involve sort of the registrars in that distribution chain. That's something, again, I'm just trying to kick it off here to sort of give you some data points to look at. I mean, is that helpful? Have you looked at that yet in the RFI, looking at that more broader distribution, Craig?
Dave?
I think that's a perfectly legitimate question for us to ask. I think the fan out of trying to do the auditing is going to be particularly challenging. For larger, you know, registries. If you think about the range of potential TLDs that would go after the high security verification, you can imagine one that would literally be so small and tightly controlled, that number of registrars that would be interested in doing it would be small. You could also imagine one where the number of registrars would be extremely large. So, I think it's a good question to pose. If Craig will take note of it, I can't write right now, but I certainly think that's something that we can include, and that would be very appropriate.
Yeah. And again,
it does play to the viability of the program.
Exactly.
And again, the other reason, and again, Mikey, with regard to the jealousy for your much more longer, more populist calls, I really did take note of Kaminsky's point during the Brussels aspect that security, when you put in the distribution model, the registrar, that's another variable that if you will, increases, decreases. It's another variable you have to account for in the security chain of trust. And I think you hit the nail right on the head there, Dave, that some of these TLDs are potentially not going to be serviced by a large number of registrars. And Mikey, just to circle back to, again, a lot of the expertise and dialogue that has been going on in the vertical integration group, when you look at the single registrant, single user model, this is something that, again, potentially calls into question, what happens if you do have a sort of a .IBM where only IBM employees are using it. That is something where the verification process is a lot easier because it's really just the registry you're looking at and how they're allocating names. You don't have to go to that second level of distribution. I really do think that that's something that does need to be fleshed out, because I think there are some reasonable discussions. John, I know the IPC has been looking at single registrant, single user in other contexts, I think there may be some IPC members that themselves might be interested in the high security zone. Do you think this is a reasonable inclusion, or am I maybe just off the reservation? Again, I'm open to comment, criticism, and I'm just, just trying to get a dialogue going here to help Craig and Dave.
No, I think that is a reasonable inclusion. I think that fits with what – I haven't been following that in excruciating detail, but, I think that definitely merits looking at.
I mean, Mikey, and again, that's probably your exclusive domain of vertical integration. With the single registrant, single user, and this other concept, I mean, do you see some crossover there where there might be some data points that we may be wanting to look at? I would really value your input based upon the Herculean task you have done in chairing that group.
I think it's a great idea. I wouldn't limit it to single user, though. I think that when a lot of people think about a high security TLD, it's not necessarily one that's limited the way a single user model would be limited. So we might not want to narrow it quite so much. We might want to throw in multiple user as well, because you think about a lot of the financial
.HSBC, because Paul, for your benefit here, Paul, with some of the acronyms we're throwing out, because I don't believe you're participating in Mikey's endeavor, SRSU is single registrant, single user. So that would be a situation, as I said, where IBM has a .IBM, and it only second level domains are only allocated to IBM employees. A single registrant, a single registrant, multiple user, so SRMU, would be the scenario where an HSBC or a Citibank would register and then would allocate second-level domains to perhaps their customers or vendors or something like that. So, I just wanted to get, for your benefit, I know, John, you have a little expertise. I don't know, Paul. Hopefully that was helpful as a little background context.
Thank you.
So, And so, I'm sorry for interrupting there, Mikey. So if you just want to sort of wrap that up, I just wanted to, again, for some people that may not have the, 100 hours of expertise that you have on the vertical integration group, I want to make sure we're all operating from the same page.
That's a week, dude. Nothing. I'm into the thousands now. Anyway, I think the main point is that I think Kaminsky's got a really good idea. We haven't talked about it at all in vertical integration. I think that now that we're getting into sort of the more thoughtful part of that, it's probably a good one to bring up, especially in the harms area. But certainly a good one for this group to think about, because you're right. I mean, if you can eliminate a whole layer in the distribution chain, you certainly could make a pretty good case that you could tighten the security of the thing.
Well, this is Dave Piscitello again. Dan's not talking about anything particularly new, and it's the same sort of scenario that we went through when we were trying to understand virtual private networking and evolve those to, to corporate intranets and corporate extranets, and then extended corporations. And now, if you can even want to think about it, we've kind of morphed them into clouds. The more you fan out the responsibility of doing authentication and verification and other protective measures on sensitive information and transactions, the longer the chain of trust you create, and the broader the chain, and the harder it is to actually impose uniform controls. So, I think that there are a number of places to point to evidence that registration services could be materially different under different models of how a registry would operate, and that's going to be there's a security aspect to that, there's a business and economics aspect to that. I think that in the high security TLD RFI, we should try to get people to focus on what are the complexities of actually putting this kind of program into play in some of these different models that we just talked about, and perhaps I can offline dialogue with Mike, or at least get the document to kind of identify at least examples for the IFI reader, RFI reader rather. So I think that we're all on the same page on this.
I would agree, Dave. And again, if this was just something, again, when Comiskey sort of raised it, it was just sort of a light bulb that went on in my head that, notwithstanding the work I've done in the high security zone and a lot of the participation I've done in Mikey, that sort of light bulb never went on. And I think one of the things we may want to point the RFI responders to is some of the ESSAC reports that have talked about some of the security risks that have existed in the registrar distribution chain previously, because there's been a number of reports that ESSAC has reported. So I think giving the RFI responders that will help perhaps better come up with a costing model, which, again, directly impacts the potential feasibility and implementability of this concept. So, we can discuss this offline, perhaps early next week, as you're going to enjoy a couple of days of D.C. So we can start maybe, Monday or Tuesday of next week before our next call. Okay?
Sure.
Michael, this is Mikey.
Yeah, go, Mikey.
I've got another idea I hadn't thought about any of this security stuff in terms of VI, but another facet of the VI discussion that sort of went by without getting finished is the whole idea of equal access, and equal access provided to all registrars to a registry. And the countervailing point that was made in some of the proposals about subject to reasonable, I'm not going to come up with the language on the fly, but it's subject to rules imposed by the registry. And I'm wondering if that doesn't bleed over in sort of the same way. If a high security zone wanted to stand somewhere between total wide open registrars and the single registrant model by imposing a bunch of pretty onerous restrictions on registrars to qualify to be registrars. See where I'm headed with that? I'm not articulating very well.
Yeah, this is Craig. I mean, I think I know where you're going with this, Mikey, and I don't see that there's a potential equal access issue simply because by a registry operator choosing to identify and pursue a high security designation or whatever the terminology, you know, whatever terminology is that we finally come up with. If a registrar wants to be a part of that TLD, provided it's not an SRSU, then they're going to have to agree to abide by the verification and authentication elements of that TLD. It's certainly going to be more costly and different operationally from supporting other TLDs, but because this whole program is something that the registry operator selects, it seems like the chain down is something also the registrar is choosing to participate or be a part of the TLD, as is any potential registrant, and along with that choice comes obligations and costs. So I don't see an equal access issue, but I'm open to hearing if others feel or think otherwise.
This is Mikey again. Let me just keep going. Let's say that I was a registry that really only wanted one registrar, partly for security reasons, but partly for other business reasons. Could I erect barriers that were so high that only one registrar would qualify?
Well, wouldn't you be getting into anti-competition areas there? Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that you're opening yourself up to other, you know, other criticism that, you know, about the you know, the behavior of your registry.
Well. Again, and okay. Just if you want, we could go. You know me, Dave. I'm a lawyer. And we got John. So we lawyers. We always could go into other areas. But I think with regard to some of the potential, if you will, competition issues, this is something that I think Mikey's group has been looking at. And the purpose here is clearly not to even try to duplicate 1/1,000th of the work that Mikey's group has done. But I think what we want to do is we need to recognize that what we are doing here with this proposed high security zone does not exist in the vacuum. And you may recall when we originally talked, the original concept here was to make this available not only for G's, but also all existing TLDs. So take,
right,
for example, EDUCAUSE. EDUCAUSE may elect for this type of designation, even though they do not use any registrars. They use a direct distribution model. We can take DE, who uses a hybrid model of registrars and direct. So I think what is very important here to keep with our core principle of the applicability of this beyond just new GTLDs or GTLDs, but all TLDs, I think we need to look at the very much broader, diverse market and explain that to RFP applicants so that they can say, okay, well, for this type of TLD distribution model, we're looking at this price range at this level, this level, this level. And I think we need that bigger picture, because that is, I think, the data points where we then could come back and properly, I think, prepare a report in which the board can sort of, you know, take a fact-based determination.
I agree.
Okay, so put it this way, this was a good dialogue there. And as I said, what happens is, you know, perhaps, John, you can go back. I think you have a couple of your IPC colleagues on this, so you may want to just perhaps touch base with them to sort of sync up with them with when we sort of incorporate this language in, so there's a little uniformity. Okay?
Yeah, sure.
Excellent. I guess that was my only, initial comment. I just wanted to add to those original 9 points that was raised. Anyone else?
Yeah. Michael, it might be a good idea either for you, or I'm happy to do it as well, to recirculate the email that was sent on the 22nd of July that has those 9 points.
Okay.
And just to bring it to the top of everyone's list and remind folks or solicit from folks input to add to that list, so that way when we put out this V1 of the RFI sometime, you know, within the next week, we can be sure that it includes input, you know, from those who aren't able to join us today.
Excellent. I will do that after the call, Mike. I'm sorry, I'll do that after the call, Craig. Yes.
Okay, great.
Michael, this is Mikey.
Yep.
I don't know when the right time to do this is, but you and I should put our heads together and craft some sort of note to stir the VI pod a little bit on this issue as well. And I kind of
Mike,
give it up
Mike,
to you.
Mike Pelage, stir a pot. You're giving me a bad reputation. I don't stir pots. Craig, you would attest to that.
I
never stir pots. I never stir pots.
Well, I would be perfectly willing to take all the pot stirring blame, but I still think it's a really good idea to get that into the dialogue over there, because
I will work with you, and I have some weapons of mass destruction that may stimulate some discussion. So,
Mikey, are you looking for an intentional distraction in your group?
No. Yeah, we provide our own. We self-generate distractions at a pretty good rate, but at the same time, one of the things that I always worry about with VI is that although we've had a lot of conversation, we may be sometimes looking at trees instead of the forest. And until you brought that up, Michael, I'd totally forgotten that comment. And it's a good one to get injected back into that VI discussion in a good way.
Well, I think that comment we ought to be mindful of in this group as well, and that is to keep looking at the forest and not focus on the trees, because I think if we do that, we're going to find ourselves not making a lot of progress on this RFI because we're getting down into too much minutia.
We put it the one thing Andy and put it this way. Andy and I were always, I think, happy collectively within this group is we pretty much hit every deadline that we said we would hit. So and put it this way, I want to continue that what I would call success rate. So again, let's look at the big picture. Again, this is something perhaps Mikey and I, as sort of respective chairs, could try to craft something and stimulate a little bit of cross working group dialogue. So, okay.
You know, can I ask a question to Mikey? Yeah, because I'm curious, and I may be taking us off, you know, offline a little bit. And if I am, I can just ask him privately. The question is whether there's ever been discussion in the VI group or about the impact to the number of accredited registrars with the advent of new TLD. Has there been a speculation that it would grow or that it would diminish, or has there been no conversation whatsoever?
I think we're in the no conversation whatsoever zone there, Dave. You know, we've been really focused on more of the sort of business relationship kinds of things, and not so much on the operational side, if you will.
I'll offer you two different futures that kind of relate vertical integration and high security TLD that I've kind of mulled over. One is that the high security TLD program establishes some, you know, some criteria that a significant number of registries decide are good things, and as a consequence of having to do more, the number of registrars that can actually do that competitively decreases, and the market contracts. Okay, and that actually could occur with or without with or without vertical integration making any decision whether it's that's different from the current status. The second is that the current status, where there is equal access and every ICANN accredited registrar are the only ones that are going to be able to provide registration services for new registries. And that scenario, I could see some very large player who wants a registry, doesn't want the rules as they're handed to them, simply going to their, let's say, quote, developer network and saying, I want to change this terrain. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pay your ICANN accredited registration. I'm going to set you up with your registrar in a box, and this is how we're going to do it. And they basically glut the market with accredited registrars.
Hey, Mikey, are they affiliated?
No, you're bad. You're being bad now, Michael.
The reason why the second one actually makes sense and could actually change the market is because if you are already, and I don't want to use the name of a large software company, as the example, but let's choose that software company and the developer network or some large search engine and their developer network or partners. And you establish this kind of I have this certification over here. I'm an accredited registrar, and by the way, I'm also a member of the developer network. You're now tossing people a lot of ammunition, saying we are actually a superior product to someone who is only an ICANN accredited registrar. I mean, there's a lot of ways to game this whole arrangement that people are not paying attention to, which is why I was nodding violently when you were saying that people are looking at the trees and not the forest.
Yeah, I mean, this conversation has just lit off a whole bunch of ideas in my head, and I think you're on the right track, Dave. I think one of the things that an advocate for single user, single or multiple registrant, or a single or multiple user could do is use the criteria for a high security TLD to dramatically narrow the number of registrars in their network, because there are a bunch of registries who really don't feel comfortable with the notion of opening up their distribution network to thousands of registrars. Would prefer.
Well, Mike, you'd simply look at the models. I mean, there's no way that a wholesale model registrar can ever hope to achieve the high security TLD criteria. I mean, it's like,
right. Well, depending on what those criteria are. I mean, that's part of what the tussle in this group is about.
Well, the ones in our control element could not be implemented by any of the wholesale registrars that I know of today.
Right. Yeah, and I think there is a real nice overlap between the conversations that I hadn't even thought about until today, so I've got much to say beyond that.
All right. Well. Listen. We have 15 minutes left on today's call, and I originally thought we weren't going to have a lot of content, but we actually have had a pretty constructive dialogue here. Perhaps Craig, I want to give it back to you right now, since you're going to be working with Dave to try to come up with this V1. Is there anything that you need? Anything that you need, or perhaps if you want to ask us now one-on-one, again, I want to try to give it back to you to use these last 15 minutes productively. So you got the floor and the chair as well.
No, I feel like we've covered it pretty well today. And the purpose of today's call really was to hear from a broader segment of the group on those 9 questions that were circulated in that email. And I think what will wind up happening is we'll get comment and feedback on V1 of the RFI rather than prior to its creation, other than perhaps from those on the phone today. So I think we're in an okay position. Dave and I will follow up, after the fact to kind of get a sense of the timing on this. But if you could, again, redistribute your prior email and get folks to chime in now, so as much of the input as we can get is incorporated into that first version, that would be good. I know that you, Michael, said that you were going to follow up with Dave early next week. And
I'm going to follow up with Mikey to try to perhaps craft a talking point email that we could cross-pollinate to sort of both groups, at least some concepts and how there might be some just cross-pollinization of ideas to keep that 30,000-foot view of what we're trying to achieve here.
Yeah, I'm a little less enthusiastic about the cross-pollinization element at this moment, and primarily because I'd like to keep our group moving forward. And again, I want us to make sure we focus on the forest, because I feel like there's a danger of getting into the trees, and that will inhibit our ability to continue to meet our commitment. So
I could monopollinate and just...
Well, you know, Michael, this is Mikey. Why don't we take it one way? Why don't we take it out of this group and just fire something into VI to get the VI kids starting to talk about this? But let's
and
not,
then you, yeah, and then you and I could bring
back
it back.
Yeah,
yeah.
That sounds more reasonable to me than the cross pollinization at this point.
Yeah, because you know, VI could stop high security in its tracks.
Yeah. I guess anything is possible, so...
All right,
so I say we go ahead and we wrap up for today. I want to chat with Dave for a little while, and I'm on European time right now, so I'm starting to run out of steam. We talked about having a call every 2 weeks, which would make our next call on the 25th. I'm going to be in Tokyo that day, or the latter part of that week. So we'll have to see about the timing of that call. And then that's not to say it can't go on without me either.
You're indispensable, Craig.
Absolutely not. No one is.
All right. Well, as I said, I mean, I think I'm about to hit send on the reposting of the path forward points. And it's the quicker you and Dave could get again, just those what you're currently thinking, you know, the spaghetti on the wall. And as Mikey said, I think Margie and staff really worked well in taking documents and having them evolve without people getting bent out of shape as to, you know, final authorship. So I think the sooner we get it out there, the better. I mean, Mikey, I didn't see any problem with the final work product. It literally came together quite well, notwithstanding, I think, Margie's original drafting. Everybody was happy at the end.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I would just second that I don't think there's a whole huge sensitivity to staff doing a first try. Craig, go ahead.
Okay. All right. Then we'll take that on. We'll take that on. I'll follow up with Dave and we'll communicate back to you, Michael, and then for a broader communication to the group about timing.
Excellent. Thanks again.
Okay.
All right. Thanks again. Wait, just real quick, as
yeah.
usual, of course. Paul, any final comments?
Not at this point. No, thanks.
Excellent. And if you do have any VI questions, me and Mikey are the people to talk to. John, any final closing comments?
No, I'm good. Thanks.
Mikey?
All good here. Thanks.
I'm good here. Dave or Craig?
No, nope. Okay.
No. Enjoy your time in D.C. there, Dave, and we'll talk shortly. Have a good one.
Bye now.
Bye, guys.
Thanks, Michael. See you later.